Tuesday, I think.
Yeah, it's Tuesday. You nailed it.
It felt like a Wednesday to me.
Your batting average with getting the days right for the opening song is well over 95%.
You've
only missed a couple
of
times. A programming note, by the way,
yes,
Wendy.
Please.
For a long time, years and years and years and years, Adam Hogue would come on after us and do a show called Sports Central, and it was about sports. And because
centrally
this is the Midwest,
located.
Yeah, we're right in the middle of the country, so Sports Central. That show was canceled.
After about a month.
But today, Adam Hogue is coming on with a special edition of Sports Central that will not be heard live, but it'll be pre-recorded right after you and I end at 1 o'clock. Adam Hogue will have a show with Terry Bores is coming in to do a show with Adam. Did you know that? It's all true. Everything I said is true.
Jasmine, is this true?
You look so scared. It's true.
This is not true.
It is true.
Who told you this?
It can't be.
Adam Hogue told me this.
When?
Moments ago in the hall. I saw Adam Hogue. I said, I miss seeing you. He goes, I miss seeing you. I go, you should come in and do a show every once in a while just for fun. He goes, well, I'm doing one today. So he's going to be in. I wouldn't make that up.
Yes, you would.
If I was making it up, I would have made it up on a much more grand scale.
I guess it's a bad makeup.
Right. It's absolutely true.
Well, Adam Hogue can't just come and go as he pleases.
Oh, that's how Adam Hogue is. Yeah. That's Adam Hogue's M.O.
We need a contract like that.
Adam Hogue's M.O. is, I work when I want to work. I think that's why Sports Central fizzled.
I know nothing about this.
This is true.
This was not run past me.
Me either.
Oh, management doesn't even know.
Like I said, you can't just come and go.
Do you want to make Adam Hogue angry? I don't. This is his dream.
Terry Bores?
Terry Bores is coming in. Because Terry's, he had covered sports for years and years and years. And
didn't he work somewhere
because
else?
Because of, yes, he did. But he's gone through some
health
medical issues. And no longer works there. And he'll come in and talk to Adam Hogue.
Is also, Kaplan going to be on after that?
David Kaplan's on after that.
Because that's not happening.
And then...
come and use our stream.
You refuse David Kaplan coming in? He's a future Walk of Famer, Wendy. You can't say no to a future Walk of Famer.
I still don't
get
that.
It's ridiculous.
He doesn't work here.
Here's what's going on.
You should have put him in when he worked here.
The building is being sold, and there's no more rules. Like, whatever, anyone who's ever done anything here, they're invited to come back and do whatever they want. Because it doesn't matter. We've already lost our security deposit. We're not getting that back.
I've been very careful about things. Although you've nailed things on the wall, you're going to have to spackle your own holes.
I was told point blank I could not nail anything onto the office wall.
You were told that.
And then,
you did do that.
Much like James Dean, Wendy, the way I say, I'm a rebel.
Without a hammer.
Without a hammer. That's what I said. So I put up a bunch of stuff on the walls. And guess whose office won the prettiest office space here at WGN?
Yours.
Yeah, mine. So,
just your half of ours.
Right.
Because I didn't hang anything. I brought so many things in. They're still in a bag. I may have even brought a hammer. It was really cute, listeners, because Bill just came one day and he had a hammer in his bag.
And I hammered in the morning. And I hammered in the evening. All over this building. I hammered out of danger. Every other radio station I've ever worked at, I have been sure that every day there will be my last. So I never brought stuff in, ever. Like, every single place I worked, I go, they're going to fire me Wednesday or Thursday. I know that. So I never brought anything. But here I felt so safe and secure that I have a bunch of artwork on our walls in the office. And, I was still working here somehow.
Yeah, but we're moving. So that's, you got to move those too. That kind of sucks.
I'm going to give Steve Alexander $10 to move it for me. You think he'll do it?
Yeah, is he part of two men in a truck or one man in a bike?
He's got a company called In for the Big O Movers that he opened a couple of years ago. It's an LLC.
Limited Liability Company?
Yeah.
Is that what that stands
Corporation.
For?
Corporation.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's an LLC. So I'll give him some money. He'll move my stuff. I feel safe with Steve. It'll be great.
I never really put things up on the walls where I was.
For the same reason as me or a different reason?
I don't know. Even for a while when we moved into our house, this is such a ridiculous thing. We've been there 20 years, And Jim is one to, he's got a pretty good eye for putting various pictures up at like a collage type of thing. Because he has a lot of Star Wars things in his Star Wars room that are hanging on the wall. And now he's filled up the entire wall of autographed pictures and whatnot. But he has a good eye of how it looks up there. And for some reason, it took me years to put a nail in our wall. And it's like, we're not renting.
Just for paintings and things? Or artwork or
anything.
What?
Anything? I was weirded out about that because, you know, we've been in our house 20 years. We don't plan on moving. But still, in the back of your head, you're like, well, we shouldn't do that because in case we want to sell. We're not going to sell
anytime
soon.
You're going to stay there
soon.
As long as you can.
Probably.
Yeah. So why not enjoy it and make it your own?
There's something weird about that. I don't know.
I wonder what that is.
It's Catholic guilt, maybe. I feel weird.
I think you're onto something. I think that is. I bet that plays into it.
Isn't that ridiculous? I need a couch to roll in here. I think Dr. John Duffy should be on daily.
Every day to do some analyzation.
Yeah, I mean, even like I had a couple of apartments, not that many. I lived with Carla Felicia. That was she's
stand-up comic.
Yeah,
and writer,
Hollywood writer, and that was my only roommate. And then I lived by myself for a couple of years in two different places, and then I moved in with Jim. So I've only been in like five places in my life.
I'm right around that too. I'm right around two places as a kid, and
only one place as a kid.
Three or four as an adult, and that's it.
Yeah. See, and I feel like Jasmine. How many different places have you lived? And you're not counting school, correct?
I lived at home when I was in college.
Yeah, I went away to Illinois State for a semester, but then when I went to Triton College, I lived at home.
You still lived at home, yeah.
Jasmine moved right now.
Yeah, she just bought a place in Ontario, Canada, and she's out there right now. When I was a kid, most of the walls in my bedroom were filled with movie posters.
With tape or thumbtacks?
They were thumbtacked in. And then I would switch, if I saw a better movie poster somewhere, I would upgrade. But as an adult, you can't have, if you're going to have a poster, it has to be framed and put in glass or you look like you're 11.
Right.
And most of my stuff makes me look like I'm 11 anyway.
Right, that's what
I want to add to that.
Paused for.
So I still have, I don't think I have any, I don't have movie posters up anywhere, but I have some pop culture-y artwork. But all of it is behind glass and with a nice frame, every bit of it.
That's what we have. I have a lot of, being in rock radio for all these years, I have a lot of autographed albums that are framed and hanging on the wall. And then I'm thinking of Michael's room. He doesn't have anything on the wall. He just has albums all over the floor. And Dylan had, it's funny, it used to be like superheroes, Marvel and DC stuff. Now it's like Zeppelin, Pink Floyd.
Oh, wow.
It's funny to see him, you know, he's 15 now, going to be 16 in December. So, wow. But he uses the thumbtacks. There are frequent times that Jimmy Mack has to run him over to Walgreens to get thumbtacks. Is that what boys did? I never used thumbtacks on my wall. I used tape.
Yeah, I don't think I ever taped anything. It was always thumbtacks.
That's
a boy-girl
thing.
Yeah. I think I showed you this. There's an artist who I love his work. It's very pop culture. His name is Shag. He takes pop culture things and makes it look like the beginning of Mad Men. You know, how Mad Men's opening credits had a very specific...
I never watched this show.
You never saw it? Well, that's his style. And there's a picture that he made that's... It's a scene from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. It's the chocolate room when they first walk in and, you know, you see the volcano and the waterfall and all like that. And when Gene Wilder died, I said to myself, that's it. I've been looking at this thing for a year. I've got to buy it. I still haven't bought it, but I look at it about once or twice a month and I'm so tempted to buy it, but it's an expensive piece of art, you know.
You owe it to yourself.
Yeah, but I buy myself too many things that I owe it to my... I've used that excuse too many times to make that work. But I want it so badly. I don't even have a real place to put it because I know how big it is. But
your
I would
bedroom.
Just...
I'm sure Terry would love that.
I have on a couple of occasions, I've showed her some art that I've said, wouldn't this look great in the bedroom? And she doesn't even say anything. She just gives me, there's a look that my wife has perfected without a single word, without a single syllable. Here's what I get from this look. I know you don't mean that because there's no way in the world that's going in the bedroom. You know, I just get that look, and I know what it is. And if I were her, I would have that. That would be my go-to look. I would walk around
with that
look
all the time.
I would have that as my standard look.
Josh Agle, is that?
That's his real name, and it's Shag because it's the SH from Josh, and then the AG from Agle. That's how he got Shag.
He's an artist.
He is a definite artist. I love his stuff.
His stuff is very cool. It's very, it's cartoony.
Yeah.
But like a 50s cartoony.
Yeah. It has a very retro feel to it. Several years ago for Christmas, they got me one of his Disney pieces of Fantasyland. I went to Disneyland with Kylie, and she knew that I loved it, and they sent away for it and had it framed. And
what
it's
a
just,
good gift.
Yeah, it's a beautiful. I love it. It's so cool.
Yeah, I could see where maybe this wouldn't fit in with the rest of the decor in your house.
Well, you know how it usually goes down with the house is Terry lets me have, because there's two, I have two rooms that are like toy rooms, right? So whatever goes on in there, she just goes, yeah, put it in there, whatever you want. But the rest of the house, every other room in the house, it's her decision, and she's put up some artwork that I say to her, you know how, like if you have a picture in your dining room or your living room, you better really like it because you're going to see it every day.
Right.
You know, you're not just going to pass by it once in a while accidentally. If you use your living room every day or your dining room every day or something, you're going to see that. So there have been over the years, a couple of pieces of art that she's just hung up in prominent spaces.
And you don't like them?
And I go, Terry, I don't know. And she'll go, it'll grow on you. Just give it time. And she's been right every time.
I don't know what's wrong with you guys sometimes, but I'm still, this is the slowest kitchen rehab I've ever done because I'm going to paint it myself.
Yeah.
And I don't have time right now to do it, so it's not complete yet.
Mm-hmm.
Cabinets are up there, builder supply outlet, they look great. Granite countertops, love them, but it's not painted. And I was going to just do a basic gray wall.
Yeah.
And something got in my craw. Frank Fontana was here. I know I saw a doctor
about
it.
What are you going to do? You've been walking very gingerly. I didn't want to say anything. Is that what it is? Something got up in your craw?
Yes.
That's awful.
I know. It's a little painful, but
Jasmine,
I'm a trooper.
There's some talcum powder in the
Shut
hall.
Up.
Could you just bring that in for Wendy, please?
We were talking on this very stream about our parents' kitchens and how avocado and gold was very popular.
Yeah.
And my mom had turquoise appliances, which I didn't see very many.
No.
So something got in my head where I want a turquoise kitchen for nostalgia's sake, but I'm not going to get turquoise appliances. So I thought my kitchen only has three walls in it because one wall leads into the eat-in kitchen.
Yeah.
So I thought I'm going to paint the walls turquoise.
Oh, that's a bold move.
It is, but there's not a lot of wall. It's like on one wall there's a stove, and on one wall's a refrigerator. There aren't a lot of walls in the kitchen. There's something up against it.
Yeah.
And so I said to Jim, I'm thinking about turquoise. And he goes, what?
Yeah.
I wouldn't like that at all. There will be no turquoise. And I walked away mad at him, walked the dog, came back, and he goes, you should try the turquoise. It's like he had come to his senses.
What changed him?
Well, listen, it is kind of a bold move, so that's when you paint a swatch on the wall and see if you could live with it. So like Terry's pictures, I would wait a little. The kitchen has taken so long already. What's the difference? I'll put some agreeable gray, and then next to it, I'm going to put a little turquoise and see if I could live with it. And if not, then done.
Can I suggest something?
Sure.
And this goes back to my days as an interior designer, Wendy. A lot of times they say when there's a color choice that's that bold, right? You want to do what they call an accent wall. So you want to do white all the way around and then choose one wall and do that.
That's a good idea.
Think about that maybe. Because
that's a good idea.
I like turquoise. And even by, like, if I went home today and Terry goes, hey, I got a surprise for you. Wait till you see this. And I walked into a room and three or four of the walls were that color. That would hurt me. That would make my brain hurt.
But I have really super bold colors. Like our front room, when you walk into the house, is like a hunter green.
But in you have a Victorian house.
Yeah.
Those were the color choices back then.
Yeah.
I mean, they would really go crazy bold with the colors.
A blood red is in the dining room.
Yeah.
So the kitchen is the newer part of the house. There was an addition that we didn't put on. It was put on. And I like the accent wall.
When we moved into our house,
you're good.
The two people who owned it, the husband and wife, were both artists, and every room had a color theme that was stuck to the letter. Like the room that's our sunroom was all burgundy red, and the walls were that color, the furniture was that color,
really?
Everything was that color, and then you go into the
monochromatic.
Yeah, in every, I mean, it was like living in a crayon box.
That's wild.
Wow. It kind of worked for them, but Terry said when
you're
we
you're not looked, like that.
She goes, we can't. I don't think there's. I don't think we have a single room with a color other than like a white or off-white or cream.
Yeah.
Everything's kind of uniform white.
That's how we had it when we moved in. And it's weird. I won't hang things on the wall, but I will paint.
But you know what? You'll find this. I mean, you already know this. It does seem a lot bigger if you go with white or cream as opposed to real bright, you know, vibrant colors. It makes everything seem bigger somehow.
And fresher.
Yeah, fresher, too.
Very California.
Yeah. I'm sorry to hear about your craw. That's so sad. All right, why don't we do this? We'll take a quick break. Judy Pilak's coming by, Wendy.
With Terry Bors?
No. Adam Hoke has Terry Bors on.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I might have been confused when I said that. But it is Judy Pilak working solo. And then Terry Bors will be on with our friend Adam Hoke later in a move that no one believes but me.
Interesting.
We'll see if that's true or not. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Boy, did you ever have like a pretzel piece with hummus on it and you're trying to swallow it because you have to talk, but then you panicked, so I couldn't swallow.
Well, you have something in your craw, Wendy. You can't, no one, who could swallow
in that those
circumstances?
That was it. It's a pretzel with hummus on it in my craw. Where is my craw?
I don't know that I would eat hummus with a pretzel.
They give you
those are two strange foods to put together.
Oh, they come with it.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm not a big hummus fan.
I am just
I'm not either.
I wasn't until I had some, and now I have it every day. It's my little snack. And if I have this, I usually can hold off till supper time.
Oh.
Wow. Not me.
Very
unless,
filling.
Are you eating at 3?
No.
No? You get all the way through just on that?
Yeah, it like gets in your stomach and it explodes.
Oh.
It fills it up.
Well,
I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Now I really want to try it.
It looks a little like spackle.
Yeah, you know, it's
doesn't
funny.
It?
I used a little spackle earlier this morning. My front door broke. It became unattached.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't spackle. It was actually wood filler.
Mm.
So I was doing that before work today. I felt like Bob Vila.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I'm impressed you had wood filler.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. We may have some, too. I don't know. I'll look around the shelves. I wouldn't know what it looked like.
I checked my son's oil yesterday in his car.
Wow, Jude.
It was leaking.
Yeah.
Did you notice that spot on the driveway there? We got a problem.
And then do you know how to repair that or he has to take that in, right? You don't know how to fix that,
well,
do you?
He doesn't know how to do
I
that.
I don't, except there was a lot of oil, and it's probably been happening for a while. I haven't even noticed. And no, but I could put oil in it if it needed it.
Yeah.
And it did. He was so low. Well, this is the main reason why I mentioned it. He's 24,
yeah.
moving to L.A., with that car, I'm like, well, check the oil. He had no clue. He didn't even know how to pop the trunk.
The hood.
Can I defend him for a second? When I was in high school, I got my first car, and I drove it for almost a year.
Yeah, this is a great story.
I know so many people who did this.
It just stopped. I was about to get on an expressway one time, and it just stopped. It just, like, everything shut down at once. And I called my dad. There were no cell phones at the time. I had to run
to
find a payphone. Yeah. And I
put
called him.
Put your flashers on. And
I said, I don't know what happened. He goes, is there gas in the car? I go, I just gassed it up yesterday. It's like a half a tank of gas. And he asked a couple of other questions. He goes, well, I don't know what it is. He goes, there must be a way. I go, I've tried everything. I can't get it to start. And my dad goes, and you've changed the oil. And I laughed. I go, change the oil? There's oil in there. It's working fine. He goes, when was the last time you changed it? I go, I've never changed it.
Oh, do you know how many times I've heard this? One of my college roommates, same thing. She had a brand new car.
And never changed the oil.
Once that happens, it's done.
Dude, I was never, ever once in the car with either of my parents where they changed the oil. They always did it like my dad would do it on the way home from work or on the way to work.
And so I guess...
I didn't know you had to change it.
My dad showed me early on. I could change a flat.
I can't do anything.
He would make
that's
me
impressive.
I couldn't do it now, I don't think, but I have done
back then
it
you could.
But the oil, I know what, I don't know why he always, and I guess it does go back to your parents.
Yeah.
He always impressed upon me, get an oil change, even if it says, like, I have a new car, it's whatever it is. Every
now
5,
it's every
000,
5 or 10 sometimes.
But I still go in. I still do it.
I do,
early,
too.
All
but
the time.
You get a new car, they tell you. There's a maintenance thing. When you buy,
it shows up. Get an oil change.
Right.
Yeah,
when you get
so
a car easy. That's, you know, my first car that I bought with my own money was a Mercury Bobcat, which is basically a poor man's Pinto.
Mm-hmm.
I had a Pinto.
You did?
Orange.
Oh,
nice.
Mine was red. And, you know, it's butt made it was wide. It had a wide ass. It really bothered me.
It was good to go to the lake and open up your trunk and sit.
Yeah, the hatchback was pretty nice.
Yeah.
But it just was so wide back there, you know? I didn't. It was not very flattering. Does this car make my ass look big?
Wait,
yes.
Wasn't that a Pacer? Remember that car?
No.
That was really
AMC
wide.
Pacer?
Yeah, that was like a fishbowl. We had an AMC Hornet, which was much cooler than the Pacer. That thing was like you were in a fishbowl.
Yeah. I had a Mercury Marquis, my first car.
That's big.
It's because it was my dad's and he gave it to me.
Mine was a Ford Thunderbird that was about the size of this studio.
Was that the one that you let the oil go on?
No. It was a Mitsubishi Cordia LS. And
he misses that car.
Now I have the oil changed every day just because of that, just to make up for it.
Isn't that funny?
But when you get a new car, no one, like, I bought it from my neighbor, Kristen. She's not going to say now, change the oil every 3,000 miles. So I don't know. I mean, no one would tell me to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you have to learn it. This is why I have always said every kid should absolutely take an auto class in high school.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So I said to my son yesterday as I was checking his oil, which, by the way, he needed some.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you know, you should have taken an auto class. He's like, auto? Like, we didn't have that at our high school. I'm like, oh, my God. Actually, they had a whole section.
They totally
did. But kids like him, who he's
weren't
not interested in car.
Right,
and he's still
nor
not,
mine.
Doesn't know about the oil. He didn't even know. I'm like, I'm sure they have thousands of classes. And anyway, it like driver's ed, you should take an auto class.
They should combine it with that. They should.
Absolutely. Or they should tell you when you're taking your driving
test.
But
if your mind doesn't, like, I've had a couple instances where I've had trouble with the car, and I always do the same thing. I pop the hood, and I look at it.
And I have stand no there with idea. Your hands on your hips.
Yeah.
I love
like,
it.
Huh. No idea what I'm
shaking
looking
your
for.
Head.
Yeah. Oh, no. This isn't good. I don't know what it is. Unless if it's the stuff for the windshield wiper solver, I can fix that. I'm really good at that.
Okay. Think about that. I would be the same. I don't know. I couldn't do except for the oil. But my dad, that generation, he could
cars.
Fix it.
Yeah.
He could pop the hood. I remember that Mercury Marquis he gave me. First, we took it to Florida on vacation. And the whole trip, I was scared to death. Like, what if the car breaks down? Which it will. He's like, oh, I don't know. Let's have to see what happens. And there were a couple little mishaps that he just pulled over. You know, maybe it.
But he knew how to fix it if it broke down.
We made it there and back. Yep.
Wow.
And I got the car, and it only lasted a couple more months.
There was a guy, on Sunday, I was at St. Charles. I was driving home from St. Charles, and there was a guy who had his car propped up on blocks in his driveway, and he was doing something underneath.
Wow.
And it was one of those things where I went, I can't imagine what it would take for me. First of all, I wouldn't know what I was doing under there anyway. But you hear stories about the car falling down and crushing a guy, and I just drove by going, would it please be careful?
You don't hear that many. And somebody who works on their car knows how to take precautions.
But not remember Mark Fidrich, the pitcher from the Tigers, who his car or truck crushed him a couple years ago? Ugh, what a way to die.
Yeah.
What the hell is he tinkering with his own car for?
I know. Get somebody to fix it, right?
He liked it.
People love it.
Not even guys. Yeah, people in general. Some people like to do that.
But, you know, when I was in high school, there were a lot of guys that took home ec classes because they thought.
Yeah, they did because they're all the girls.
And because they were, all I can speak for is my brother. He was a football player, so he took home ec because then they could make food and they could eat during school. And yet he actually learned how to cook in that class. But no girl took an auto class,
not
and I
one.
Wish I would have.
But now that's a funny story.
It's different now.
Because my boys literally had to call me to ask me how to boil water. I mean, they didn't like how to make pasta. I'm like, you know, boil some water. Boil like what? In the microwave? I'm like, no, in a pot.
I know, that's so
funny. There's the other side. Yeah, they couldn't.
Yeah.
No.
Everyone's skill set.
Okay,
is
so
a little
wait,
different.
I've just learned here that my boys can't change oil or boil water.
Oh,
I don't feel so bad all of a sudden.
No, don't feel bad.
No, my one in Iowa, he actually showed me a picture of a plate of food he made. I was very happy.
It's impressive.
He moved to an apartment.
Chicken, wasn't it?
Well, and he said, so this rice thing, I made like 2 cups.
That's a lot.
He didn't know. Yeah, he had a pile of rice.
Oh.
And 2 chicken breasts. I was very impressed.
That's nice. Yeah. He's doing it right.
I told him how to do it, and he was good.
Let us get some news in, and then more discussion. All right, I'm going to tell a story, and
gather around, fellow boosters.
Have this question in the back of your head. What's up with this kid? All right, that's all I'm going to tell you. What's up with this kid? His name is Noah Crowley. He's 18 years old. He goes to Riverview High School.
With Archie Andrews?
He lives in an Archie comic book. So his friend Reggie Mantle put him up to this, Wendy. Listen to this.
It's Riverdale, anyway.
Oh, Riverdale is where Archie
is.
We
both screwed up on that.
Riverview would have been the amusement park here in town that is no longer alive, sadly. It's in Sarasota, Florida. It says here, this is from Yahoo, a high school student who used a racist sign to ask his girlfriend to prom is getting backlash, this according to the Herald Tribune of Sarasota, Florida. Now, I'll tell you what it says, and then we'll discuss, but Noah Crowley, 18, goes to Riverview High School, I already said that, held up this sign, here's what it read, if I was black, I'd be picking cotton, but I'm white, so I'm picking you for prom.
Oh, jeez.
I hope she said no.
She said yes. This is 2018. Let's keep that in mind. And this is a kid who's probably been subjected to life. He's 18 years old, so he kind of knows what's good and bad and what's right and what's wrong. But he thought this was a brilliant idea to put this sign up. I'll read it to you again, and I'll tell you the rest of the story. If I was black, I'd be picking cotton, but I'm white, so I'm picking you for prom. A photo of the teenager holding up the poster was shared to Snapchat and then screenshots circulated on Twitter where many are calling it racist. How about all of you?
How about everybody
who sees it calling it racist?
Therein lies the problem.
They have asked that the teenager be banned from the dance. It then goes on to tell us that the girl that he asked did say yes. Crowley has since apologized on social media, saying, it was completely a joke, and it went too far. After reading the texts and Snapchats, I truly see how I have offended people, and I'm sorry. I give him credit for the apology, but doesn't your brain, as you're writing something like this, brain kick in and go, this is offensive?
And the more scary part is how dumb he is.
Right.
Sorry, I guess after hearing all your complaints,
Right.
How did you not know that?
That didn't occur to you during the process?
That was your original point, right?
I don't understand that.
I can't figure it out.
I don't understand that.
How you live that long and not know. And here's, I hate to say it, but it goes to your parents and your family life. What are you hearing?
But here's why it goes back to your parents. Because, listen, I don't know. Maybe I'm a little more hands-on with my kids than I should be. But don't you think the mom or dad helped him with that sign or at least was aware of the sign?
Nah, 18, maybe not.
Yeah.
But how do you not know that that's wrong? That's the problem.
Yeah. Is that by the age of 18, and I would even argue that by the age of 10 or 11 or 12.
Maybe people still don't know. You have to reinforce those ideas all the time, unfortunately. But that's just the way it is.
Do you still ever come in contact with people? Because I get this every once in a while. Not often, thankfully. But every once in a while, somebody will tell me a story. And in the middle of the story, as they're telling me a story about something, they'll go, this guy comes in, colored guy. And then he just keeps going. And you just go, sorry, what?
Yeah.
There's a colored guy.
I would hear the N-word guy. There.
Really?
I have to,
Wow.
I know. And it doesn't happen anymore because you know what happened? It was hard to take. I've talked about this before. It's hard to take a stand.
Yeah.
It's hard to say to someone who you know and maybe have known for a while. Yeah. And then when that first comes up, you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. And so at some point I had to say, whoa. It would be a joke. It's never okay.
Right.
Never.
Yeah, it isn't.
And so I even like, I can't tell you what to say,
right.
But I'm telling you. Don't say that.
Yeah.
I mean, even to a certain point, some, you know, very close people close in my life.
Oh, that's horrible.
That I've said, you can't talk that way in my house. And if you are, you're not, certainly in front of my children. So, but there are the good lessons to always. I mean, it's not like my kids, you know, because I'm not racist, they weren't racist. No, you have to constantly teach them.
Right.
Because they're, you know, they're open to so many things in the world. And you just have to constantly reinforce that message.
There was a family that lived by us when I was growing up on our block, a couple houses away. Those kids used the N-word every single day, always in a negative way.
White kids?
Yeah.
Yeah, I grew up in Chicago.
But
everyone said
I always think now, okay, so now we're a bit older and they all have families of their own. Did they at some point realize, I haven't kept in contact with them, so I don't know. Did they at some point realize how ridiculous that was and just wake up one day and say, well, I've got to stop this, and now they have kids? Or does that continue with their kids, you know?
Yeah. See, I grew up in Chicago where it was...
People said that word.
Always.
I mean, I'm sorry, I heard it too.
Even our family, yes. Yeah. But I never did.
No, I didn't
so
either.
So who, no, I feel like nobody taught me that because it just didn't happen. You know, and I had nothing against my family, but that's, everyone was doing it. So I don't know. I know you're not born. You know, people will say everyone is just born without any. No, that's not true. I think people are who they are. And maybe if I was a different person and I had heard that and I would have said, oh, I think that's fine. Because a lot of my friends did. But I never did. I was always uncomfortable.
Yeah, but the time changed from when we were kids. That's when I heard the word a lot with peers. You used to jump on people and pile on them and people would say that word. And yeah. You'd be like, I don't know that I looked at it strangely because that's what people said. And then all of a sudden, no one said that word anymore because we learned it's not a nice word.
Right. And I think it maybe beyond that, maybe I always felt that it was hurtful. I mean, I understood it was hurtful. So that maybe was, it wasn't so much what the word was or the person. It was just overall. I'm like, sure. I just don't like, you know, it seemed so unkind. Maybe that was it too, more or less. But I constantly, when my kids were little, always reinforced that about people.
That's not an option.
Right. Not an option because look, there are people. And I always say this too. You think I knew one black person when I was growing up in Chicago? I did not.
I grew up in Brookfield. There really weren't black people there.
I'm in Chicago. Yeah. Cause that's how segregated it was. So then I will allow people that. Okay. These people who are now in my later life are still using that word. Maybe they don't know any black people.
No, but listen, open up a newspaper.
Right.
Open
but
up
I mean,
a history
above
book.
And beyond that, I'm like, listen, because I do know black people and they are exactly the same as us. They are no, I don't know what you're describing here, but that in, yeah, I think, but it's easier for people if they don't know. If they don't know any black people or any Indian people or any Hispanic people, it's easy for them
that's
to make
an easy
fun
out,
of
though.
Yeah. I'm trying to be.
No, you're trying to
be nice and get the benefit of the doubt and say, okay, now you know. But you're right. Now at this age, come on. What are your kids hearing you say at home?
Yeah, right.
So those are the kids, I think, who, they don't really know.
These kids who lived on my block and always used these words, the N-word and beyond, in negative connotations. When you'd go into their house, you go up to their bedroom, and their posters on their wall were Billy Williams and Jose Cardinal and Dick Allen from the White Sox, all African-American baseball players that they idolized. But they would still use those words in the most negative of ways. And it was always very uncomfortable. And, you know, my parents would hear that and they would say, you don't talk that way. And I go, no, I understand. I know that. But whenever their parents would hear it, there was never a second of scolding or anything like that.
That was my life. Nobody ever said that was bad.
Wow.
But it was a culture. It was like Wendy said.
It was a different time. It really was.
Yes. Now, totally unacceptable. Now, you're right. No excuses.
There are no excuses.
Back then, okay. Even 10 years ago, I hate to even say 10 years ago.
Well, now, I started this house by saying every once in a while I'll be in a conversation with somebody and they'll throw something like that in. This guy comes in, a colored fella.
Yeah.
Right? And I always say this. I always go, first of all, no one says that anymore. Second of all, what bearing does this have on the story?
Right.
There's no reason to throw that little extra detail in other than tell me you're still slightly, if not more than slightly racist. You know?
Yeah, but then there are times, and I'm sorry, this is going to sound bad, but if you're talking about someone and doing a description, like I went into Starbucks and there's this blonde girl there that was, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying I went into Starbucks and this black guy I was talking to. How is that racist? You're giving a description of the person.
Don't you think it falls under the guise of, though, if it's pertinent to the story?
Yeah, why would you say black guy? Or blonde girl.
Maybe because you go to the same Starbucks. Hey, you know the Starbucks over there.
That's not what you saw. They were already asked to leave if it was a Starbucks.
Yeah, exactly. There are no black people in Starbucks. No. Oh, so, yeah.
Like if I'm saying, that blonde girl that works at...
We in the news business always do a description of an assailant.
Yeah.
And we do say black or white.
And that's not racist. No, that's a description.
It's not racist. Absolutely not.
But could you say fat guy? I went into a restaurant. There's a fat guy sitting next to me. Could you say that?
Heavy or overweight. Yeah.
But there was a time where...
When you say a joke, no, I couldn't give you one probability there where it would be okay to say a black guy.
Right.
Except if the joke was at that black guy's expense.
A joke or...
Which is what I'm assuming it's going to go that way.
Right. If somebody prefaces it that way, then you go, oh, I think I know where this is headed.
Right. It's going to be an off color.
Or else they wouldn't have shared that detail with us. Right? Yeah. All right. Here's the other question I'll ask you about this kid really quick, because this was what I was wondering. If you're the parents of this kid who's put out this prime invitation about the cotton picking, what's your move? What do you do with this kid? What do you say to this kid? What's your next move?
Well, I biff him in the head and go, what were you thinking? Right. But I don't know if his parents feel that way.
Yeah.
How did you not know that was...
Right. Yeah.
That wasn't okay.
Wouldn't you be horribly disappointed in him? Just
how
go,
did the news cycles
no, but
get
I'm
this?
Saying, I bet the, what I can't, I have no clue, but people, to me, an 18-year-old that thinks it's okay to say that.
Right.
His parents must think it's okay to say that.
I don't know.
Or Judy, they could be horrified. And that's what I mean, you know, as parents, you do the best you can, and sometimes your kids shock you.
Right. Actually, you're right. It's one or the other. It's
I know.
What's the big deal?
It is one or the other. Yeah. And I really hate being shamed by people sometimes because, you know, it goes back to these shootings. I always feel sorry for the parent of that shooter because in a million years, they didn't expect their kid to do something so terrible. And if they did, hopefully they contacted the authorities.
But the only problem with the shootings is so many times the parents did know. That's so heartbreaking.
Knew that there was the potential for some trouble ahead.
In the Tennessee shooting?
This one is unacceptable to me.
The dad gave the guns back.
Why? Why is that? And this is an Illinois loophole.
He moved out of state.
But
so.
See, if you are trying to get on the grounds of the White House, to me, that's a federal offense. So you don't get guns back. Your family doesn't get guns back. If you feel guilty from taking the guns, then sell them somewhere and give the family the money.
So, yeah, the first problem was they gave the guns back.
Right.
First problem. Second problem was the guns are taken away because of his erratic behavior. As a parent,
you don't give those guns back.
Right.
Or is the dad being held responsible?
They think he might.
Because he should be.
Yes. Yeah. He should be because he did not have a license. He had those guns and he shouldn't have given it to him. That's the law.
I know. And it's an Illinois law. How is that Illinois?
And then you're a parent. So now you should be held. Yeah. We should have parent laws.
Why aren't there?
I know, right?
Well, it's starting. I mean, now if you let kids drink at your house, you can be held responsible.
Yeah, you're right.
So now it should come to that.
It should. And in many, many cases, the parents knew the child had issues.
Yeah.
And guns.
Yeah.
So
lethal combination.
It's happening more and more. Yeah. Because, I mean, it's almost, that scares me more than anything. Because I'm scared, first of all, that they, you know, someone shoots up a crowd of people. But, you know, when it's, when people know, that's even worse, because you're right. Some people are just, they're crazy. There's nothing you can do for crazy. I mean, sometimes.
Well, you can try and get them help.
Crazy.
Right, but I mean, sometimes, like you said, as a parent, you're just like, whoa, I have no idea what happened here. But so many times, that's not the case. They did have an idea.
Yeah.
And
parents, they should be held responsible.
We know how hard it is. It's hard to, like, even say no to your kid.
Yep.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, but saying no to watching an R-rated video and saying no to a gun are two entirely different things.
And even beyond that, saying, I'm going to take you in because you need help is, you know, that hardly ever happens.
I'm sure it's impossible for a lot of people.
Yes.
Yeah.
And some of these kids, 18, 19, what are you going to do?
Right.
I mean, they say, well, I'll just leave.
Yeah. I know. Very difficult.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I feel bad for parents sometimes, the good parents. I really do.
No, I get it.
We try our best, and seriously, you hope to God that your kids are going to do right by you.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think in this day and age, there's more of a responsibility on you now as a parent.
And there should be laws against parents now.
Yeah.
There should be.
I mean, you know, I have a daughter who's mentally disabled. There are just certain jobs I know she can't do.
Right.
Yeah.
She could maybe get that job, but I'm like, no, no,
you
she
won't
can't.
Allow that because
no,
you're a responsible parent.
Yeah, well, but it's hard. It is. It'd be easy to just say, yeah, go ahead and, and skirt the... But it's always difficult and it's hard for her. And, you know, she wants to be like everyone else.
Yeah.
But you got to just, you know, you got to work around it.
It's a case-by-case basis, and you do your best. But, yeah, some of these things are unforgivable, and I think if parents started getting charged for some of these things, maybe they would do an intervention and take their kid in, not to be a mean or a jerk, but to help their kids stay alive.
Right, and be the bad guy. You have to be the bad guy sometimes. That's the problem.
Yep.
So, speaking of that, what happened to our guy here who he's going to the dance and everything's hunky-dory?
Yeah. It seems. He's gotten
And does anyone tell him that pretty much black people don't pick cotton anymore? Does he know that? Because that's probably the thing.
Important thing to share with him.
Mm-hmm. With machines.
Because he's right.
Now.
It's all covered. All right. Judy, thank you so much for hanging out. Will Adam Hogue join us for some crosstalk? Wendy says no. I say
I don't,
yes.
I was not informed of this. Adam Hogue cannot
we
just
didn't want to
come
scare
on
you.
Whenever he feels
we
like
We know
it.
That you get scared very easily, and nobody wanted to startle you. So maybe Adam Hogue will join us, and we'll talk sports for a little bit. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Oh, ye of little faith, Wendy. I told you Adam Hogue would be here for a very special version of Sports Central, and you said, please, that's impossible.
Yeah, but it's silly because he's not on the stream. So why did you even mention
Adam Hogue
it?
Makes his own rules. Hi, Adam.
That's
how
right.
Are
I
you?
Do whatever I want. That's how this works.
You can't hold him down. He's a force to be reckoned with.
Looks like Adam, do whatever you want.
It looks like you don't believe him.
I guess you're here because you're here.
Well, we have a special guest.
We have a special guest that's coming in for Sports Central today. Terry Bors is in the house.
Not the Terry
yes.
Bors. The Terry Bors.
The Terry
really?
Bors.
That's excellent.
He has a new book out about his life in Chicago radio. It's mm-hmm. excellent. I'm holding it right here in my hand. It's called The Score of a Lifetime. I used to work with Terry over at The Score. So we're going to have a fun conversation about life, radio, maybe a little sports.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully not too much sports. He doesn't want to talk about sports
no,
anymore.
No, sports are old. That's old news.
Yeah.
Wants to talk about the fashion industry.
No, I'm really excited for this interview. So we're going to have a lot of fun today. It'll be available on WGNradio.com, iTunes, the whole deal, in a couple hours. That's how this works now.
Whenever you're in the mood, Adam, you're always welcome to come in.
Okay.
Do a show. Don't do a show. Whatever you...
Can I just sit on your lap for
yes,
an hour?
Okay. Absolutely.
Again?
Yes.
That's my comfort spot.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's a sad tale of woe, if I could tell you that, Adam, if that's your comfort spot.
Sometimes he's up there and he tells me what he wants for Christmas. It's
yeah.
the weirdest thing.
Yeah. This is a habit.
I don't know why.
Well, it's nice to see you.
You too, guys.
All right. Have a good show. Have a good podcast. It will not
yes.
be on. It will not be broadcast live after the show as we used to do.
Right.
But available on
Things
WGN Plus, right?
Things have changed.
Tell Terry we said hi.
Okay, we will.
All right.
Hi, Terry.
Terry, they say hi.
I hear
this
him often.
This is so confusing. You should have just left it alone.
Yeah. Next time. Have a good time. That's it for us. We'll do another one of these tomorrow.
If
Adam wants, it's up to Adam. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it plays out. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.